Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. How are ya? News and stuff right after this. Had your devotions yet today? What did you get out of the Word? What did God talk to you about as you read His Word today? Have you done the Big Five? You read your Bible? Well, good for you. You prayed? Who'd you pray for and why and how, huh? Others, especially others, oh yeah. Serve, you got to do something. Get up and do something for Jesus in and out of the local church. Your community needs you. Your neighbor needs you. People in church need you. A fellowship, used to fellowship with the world's crowd. When I was unsaved, loved it. Hundreds of friends got saved. That number diminished greatly, but still, they're out there. All over the place. Oh, I love having Christian friends. I need fellowship, and so do you. Hang around other Christians, beloved. And that church of yours, is it one that preaches and teaches the Word of God? Well, congratulations. They're getting fewer every day. Bible, prayer, service, fellowship with other Christians. Good church, great formula for your Christian walk. What in the world is going on? Are we, with everything else on your plate? Are we on the verge of World War III? Taiwan has officially confirmed now the presence of United States troops stationed on its islands in the Taiwan Strait permanently, a development that could further escalate mounting tensions with China. The National Defense Authorization Act, passed in 2023, facilitated the deployment of these troops to conduct training programs for Taiwanese frontline forces. The move comes as China continues to assert its disputed claim over Taiwan, viewing it as a renegade province despite never having ruled it. The heightened military activities by China in and around Taiwan Straits have prompted Taiwan to bolster its defense capabilities. It comes after Secretary of State Antony Blinken this week issued an ironclad warning to China, as tensions between the two nations get hotter every day. The latest breaking news on the Biden crime syndicate. Hunter Biden, James Biden, accused of lying to Congress. Oh, it got hot and heavy yesterday, as it should. This guy shouldn't be president. He should be in jail. First son, Hunter Biden. First brother, James Biden, accused of lying by a pair of House Republican impeachment inquiry witnesses during the Wednesday hearing, one of whom said that he had put himself at grave risk by coming forward. This guy is super intelligent. Tony Bobulinski accused his former business partners of Hunter and James of perjury during depositions they gave last month about fake President Biden's alleged past involvement in their overseas business. Bobulinski explained that while serving as the CEO of Cinehawk Holdings and as part of a partnership with the Bidens, he sought with the Chinese state-linked energy firm. He met with Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and Jim Biden at the Beverly Hilton in May of 2017, despite the first brothers denying his meeting ever occurred. The first son said, "My dad went and shook hands with Tony." When asked about the exchange during his deposition, a transcript released by the oversight panel shows that whereas James Biden's transcript shows him saying the meeting had absolutely not happened, even after being presented with evidence to the contrary. Oh, that was just scathing. All kinds of checks for $100,000, $150,000, $40,000 directly going into Sleepy Joe's checking account. These people, they ought to all be in jail. What in the world is going on? So what's this one about? With a presidential administration well known to have been compromised again and again by foreign adversaries, oh, especially maybe China, is America on the brink of disaster? Well, Brigadier General Blaine Holt, United States Air Force retired, who served as the deputy U.S. military rep for NATO and co-founder of Restore Liberty, said, oh, yes. He fears the worst under Biden's leadership, saying the evidence of betrayal is undeniable with this guy. It's not statistically possible for an administration to make 100% of its decisions counter to the U.S. interest without some other factor in play here. If America wants to know what that factor is, start watching what Congressman Comer is doing in his oversight committee. Every single day, they're peeling back the onion on the Chinese compromise of this administration. Gotta be, without question, nobody even close. The worst president and administration in the history of America. What else is the Godfather up to? Biden's Environmental Protection Agency proposed a 56% reduction in new vehicle emissions by 2032. The goal, of course, was to force automakers, and by extension, the American public, you, to adopt electric cars, you idiots. At a breakneck pace, Biden wanted 60% of new vehicles produced to be electric by 2030. This ain't gonna work. But then reality set in. Ford, GM, Mercedes, Volkswagen, Jaguar, oh, all of them. All these companies are actually scaling back electric vehicles. And the Biden administration has started to hit the brakes. What are we gonna do now? I mean, it's all insane. A six-year-old could do a better job of running this country and its business than those people in Washington. They're all idiots. Well, I don't go there as often as I used to. I should. Talking about a trip to Moronville. Not far now, over to Ohio here. A dad arrested after repeatedly calling a school and then the police to complain about his child's homework. Sergeant Adam Price of the Oxford Police Department said that Adam Sizemore called the police 19 times in 1 hour. It was so disruptive, said the cops. This is a K-5 school, so there's not an abnormal amount of homework. The dad said most of it's not true, okay? I'm a single dad of a boy and a girl, and I'm just trying to do the best I can. That's all I can do, really, calling the cops 19 times in an hour. People make some mistakes. According to the police, Sizemore repeatedly called Kramer Elementary School because his son got homework, which takes away from the time he has with his dad after school. And, oh, I'll tell you what, just crazy. Wait a minute, where are y'all going? Nearly 80,000 people left New York City last year. The motivation for many is that big city rents are increasing and people are looking for more affordable lifestyles. A prayer goes with you. You try to find an apartment. It's not easy, said New York City resident Sophia Dahl. Realtors in New York City are seeing prices for apartment rentals jumping to double digits. Prices definitely up in the last 2 years, 30-35%. That's the reason so many are leaving and starting a new life, a lot of them heading south. I just realized, you know, that there's a lot of really big cities that I could live in, that I could have much more than just the money I make. The average price of a one-bedroom apartment in the United States is $1,200. Just unbelievable. Oh, other states where people are leaving? California, well, sure. Illinois, Dem-run state. Pennsylvania, these states seeing an increase of people moving to Arizona and Texas and Florida. Hey, if you got a few extra bucks, how about buying Judy Garland's home, built in the 1930s? The Wizard of Oz, Judy Garland, sure. Her home's up for sale in Bel Air, California for nearly $12 million. Looks like a little place, built in the 1930s. And Garland bought the home the same year The Wizard of Oz premiered. Living in today's world, you can relate to this one, many of you. Well, how many times have you heard this? One man's trash could be another man's treasure. Hey, but sometimes that treasure turns out to be a gown, maybe, designed by none other than Jacqueline Kennedy's personal dressmaker. Kansas, that's her name. Kansas Malaki, a content creator and mom of two in Austin, said she always had a knack for finding gems while thrifting. My family was not well off in any capacity, she told Fox. My mom was a single mom, my dad was a single dad, and we'd do garage sales, and this was something I grew up with. Sharon and I have done this our entire lives. In high school, I think I've already shared, I was always clothed in something from Goodwill, and it never, still hasn't left me. So often when I appear on stage, everything I have on is from Goodwill. You can do really well. Do you know, I bought a tie once at a Goodwill type, well, it's actually a thrift store, it wasn't Goodwill. And the thing was just pretty, an old-looking thing, but it really looked pristine in so many areas. I purchased this thing for a quarter. Turned around, it was a Pan Am Airlines tie. And at that time, there was even a sitcom on about Pan American Airlines. Do you remember that? Wow, I said, I think I've got something here. I sold a lot of ties on eBay, put that thing on for $100, and it sold instantly. Oh yeah, you can make a buck or two here or there. We never really cared about designer or brand names or anything like that, said this woman. We were just simple little country people who would go straight to the clearance section of the thrift shop. It wasn't anything I was ever ashamed of. I always liked having things that were a bit different. This woman was nearing the end of her shopping experience when she came upon a bright, shiny gown. I did my last lap, and I saw that thing, a twinkle in my eye. Well, my goodness, got herself something very special, huh? It was on sale for $15. Oh, I like this story. Hey, come on now. Who doesn't want a deal, huh? Hey, how about that lady in Virginia? Just another day of thrift store shopping for Jessica Vincent of Lynchburg, until it wasn't. She spent $3.99 on a vase that caught her eye at Goodwill. She sold that thing for over $100,000. She said it changed her life. It's really a special piece and will always have a special place in my heart. Yeah, until I sold the thing and grabbed the $100,000. The money couldn't have come at a better time for us. What? $3.99? $100? As soon as the show's over, I'm heading over to... Yeah. Pastors, church leaders, take note. You got a visitor there, huh? What are the seven things that visitors hate when they visit a church? Have any idea? How about making new visitors stand up and identify themselves in the church? Oh, I would hate that, yeah. Churches that just don't make you feel welcome. You're here. You know, some people claim they go to churches, not one person talks to them, shakes their hand, says anything to them. Is that possible? It is possible, especially a big church, huh? Or telling a family walking in with a baby about nursery services. People don't like that, I guess. I'm sure that you've been to a church where a baby cries, and invariably, there's someone in the congregation who will complain. To combat this, greeters, ushers, tell people as soon as they come through the door where the nursery is. Visitors don't like that, I guess. How about pastors who disappear as soon as they're done preaching? When people visit a church, especially if they like the pastor and his message, they may want to say hi or make a comment, but a lot of guys, where is he? The disappearing act. The fifth thing they hate, judging the way someone is dressed or how they look. Many churches like to say, you're all welcome here, but do they mean it? For some churches, you're welcome as long as you look the part. Otherwise, we have a problem, Houston. Next, services that are just too long for no good reason. There's no manual that tells you how long a church service could be or should be, but there's a point where it gets too long. Once you go over 2 hours, you have 2 hours. Hey, by the way, when I was over in Puerto Rico, they're right in San Juan, One Baptist Church, every Sunday, 5 hours. Culturally different there. So, yeah, you don't want to go over 2 hours. Something about that one tickles me. And last, what do people hate when they visit your church? Feeling pressured to give the bucks. Whether you're there for the first time or it's your millionth time, no one should ever feel pressured to give. Giving is an act of obedience and free will. Making someone who comes to visit feel like they gotta give, not good. Well, there you are, for what it's worth. Seven reasons people get upset with visiting your church. Now, I've shared this one from the pulpit for a long time. What do people want most in the world? If I could give you money, if I could give you perfect health, etc., in the last 50 years, you know what comes out number one? Happiness. Comes from Psalm 1, actually. Happy is the man that walketh not, the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Six great verses there in Psalm 1. Now listen, Disneyland may be the happiest place on earth, or maybe, but the rest of the U.S. is falling behind in that happiness department, especially for people under 30. In this year's list of the world's happiest countries, where do you think this country ranked? Number 23. Last year, we were 15. This is the first time it hasn't cracked the top 20 since this all began in 2012. Much of the dip stems from young Americans feeling worse about their lives, according to Gallup. If you're looking for that happy place, you got to go to Finland. They continue to be number one for some reason. Now, for Christians, you know this is all wrong, right? You can be happy right where you are under any circumstances. Sure you can. If you're saved and heaven-bound, how could you get any happier than that? Knowing the truth, you shall know the truth, it'll set you free. Get saved today. Oh, more here. Where is my Bible? Life 101, right after this. It continues to help, well, so many people everywhere, talking about that new book, Invisible War on the Saints. You know, I just saw a note here from Dr. Copley, expert 40 years, counseling sometimes 12 hours a day in spiritual warfare, 6 days a week. I know few men who've done more in this area than Dr. Ken Copley. He read our book, Invisible War on the Saints, said it's the best spiritual warfare book he has ever read. Well, what a blessing that is, huh? InvisibleWarOnTheSaints.com. Its partner, that 36-part TV series, available now at swrc.com, 1-800-652-1144. You can get that 36-part series today. It's only been out a couple of weeks. swrc.com, 1-800-652-1144. And InvisibleWarOnTheSaints.com, the best book on spiritual warfare he has ever read. Think about that. Part two, passion. Talked about it yesterday. Hey, a passion to serve God, you have that? You often hear about people who have a servant's heart or a spiritual gift to serve. But the truth is that God has foreordained every single believer to do that. Ephesians 2:10. The Apostle Paul, a man with a great passion to serve Jesus, experienced hunger, cold, and exposure, prison, beatings, shipwrecks in order to serve. Wow, 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 27. Why was he able to endure all of these things? Because Paul was motivated by gratitude and a vision for God's great purpose in life. Our conversion experience may not be as dramatic as Paul's, but Jesus rescued, didn't he? Because he loved you, he saved you from reckoning, ruining, and destroying your life for all eternity. We know he didn't have to forgive our sins. He chose to do that. Likewise, we probably won't have to endure cold and hunger and shipwrecks and all that stuff in serving God, but we will experience lots of trials, and that brings you closer to Jesus Christ. God's great purpose for us is that we live a lifestyle that glorifies him so that the world will know Jesus is Savior. We're commissioned to share the gospel and train other believers as well. Matthew 28:19-20, we're encouraged to reach out to the needy. Matthew 25:35-40. Serving God with real passion requires drawing upon his strength instead of yours. When the Lord calls you to do something, maybe it's ushering in the church, teaching Sunday school, maybe you'll have a chance to preach or sing or witness or be a godly parent. That's a good one. We have the power of God flowing through us. He equips us with the needed gifts to do what he calls us to do. I mean, to be servants here all the days of our lives. We might require some training or need to learn some new things, but never doubt God's ability to strengthen his children to get the job done. If he wants you to do something, He's going to equip you to do it. It's tempting to read the Great Commission and either consciously or subconsciously project those orders onto pastors and missionaries only. We can tell ourselves, well, I'm not a preacher or a teacher, but the Bible says once you're saved, you are under commission as soldiers of the cross of Almighty God to tell others about the Lord. We may decide not to mention the name of Jesus Christ because we think it might, well, make someone uncomfortable or cause a little embarrassment. There comes that sin of pride. But is it possible to keep quiet about someone who was crucified for your sins and rose again to give you hope? He should be continually on your mind and on your lips, right? Passion to proclaim Christ is born out of a gratitude for what he's done for us. Amen? Paul, in his testimonies, often shared the story of his conversion, not because anything within him was worth saving, but because of God's grace and God's love. The gratitude and awe of that experience motivated Paul to share the gospel with the Gentiles. Some longtime believers, however, take their salvation for granted. They don't marvel about what a great gift it was for God to redeem a sinner, right? It doesn't take any more grace to save a murderer, a terrorist, or a hardcore atheist than it does to save a little child. Sin has separated everyone from God, but he chose to reach down and do for us what we could not do for ourselves, save us from our sin, and give us eternity with him. My friend, that should motivate you to want to share the truth with someone else. The more we understand about Christ, the more committed we should be in testifying about him. The mark of a godly believer is sharing what he or she knows about Jesus Christ. So that's it. Glorifying God sounds like some sort of an elusive term, but in essence, it means the fullness of all his greatness, his splendor, beauty, radiance, and power, all a part of his glory. Our purpose is to live our lives so that we will always be pointing people to God and in every action glorifying him. He gave us life not just for ourselves, but for himself, in order that he be glorified through us. Pity the people who are living for themselves, climbing the ladder, so to speak. When they reach the top of that ladder, they're going to fall right off because there's nothing substantial to hold them up. Ultimately, the only thing that will matter is a relationship to God. Christ is living on the inside of us in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the supernatural power of God available today, and we can know him in a far greater and more intimate way than the superficial relationships for which many believers just settle for. Tell the Lord today, you choose this day to begin to truly know him, obey him, serve him, and proclaim him. Tell him that you want a passion for him. My friend, your life is about to get very exciting. So another big question, have you done it? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior right now? If you haven't, just bow your head before him. Ask God to forgive you. And then accept Jesus Christ into your life to rule and reign. It is a fantastic way to live, a fantastic way to die. Why not do it today? And finally, I shared earlier about going to garage sales and antique auctions, all that stuff. Sharon and I have done it all our lives. But you know what? You know you're getting old when you go to the antique auction and three people bid on you. It's just hard sometimes, isn't it? That's it. I've had my say for another day. Could you join me on Facebook? Bunches of you did yesterday. Greg, GREGPATTEN. Oh, it's a great time. Getting old, I mean, it really is. I've enjoyed every age bracket I've been in. I think that's okay, isn't it? That's the way it is, my friend, for a Thursday, March the 21st, 2024. I am Greg Patton. God bless you. Have a great day.